lie down and then you
with poop.
Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Papa Hotel Lima Echo November radio check.
Papa Echo November, good afternoon, Ritu 5.
Good afternoon, Ritu 5 as well, Papa Echo November.
And thank you for joining us this evening for our fifth broadcast on this beautiful 4th of July weekend. Of course, if you're listening live, it is Sunday evening, July 3rd, and just after 7 p.m. in the Pacific time zone, 8 o'clock p.m. in the Mountain time zone. Welcome back, faithful and loyal listeners from across the American Redoubt, across America, and around the world. I'd like to give a shout out to the countries representing the highest listenership, besides the good old U.S. of A., of course. Welcome to our neighbors to the north in Canada, and welcome to you listening from Russia and Germany and Australia. We gladly welcome those lovers of liberty wherever you may be. You've all just tuned in to the John Jacob Schmidt Show, broadcasting live on Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt. And I'm John Jacob Schmidt, your host. Our live listening audience numbers are a little lower than usual tonight, and that's because you're all off camping, barbecuing, and spending time with friends and family, as you should be, as you celebrate our nation's independence. So be careful out there on your ATVs, and be especially careful setting off those really, really cool fireworks you got from the Indian Reservation. Don't want anybody shooting their eye out. We've got so much to cover tonight, we don't want to waste any time getting to it. So let's go and take a look at this week's news in review to look at and discuss just some of the stories which could affect you, the American Redoubt, and anyone who is concerned about the times we're facing today. From the Washington Times on Wednesday, June 29th, in response to some concerns raised by Congress regarding the legalities and constitutionality of our involvement in NATO, the military operations against Libya, President Barack Hussein Obama referred to these concerns as noise, going on to say, and this suddenly becomes the cause célèbre for some folks in Congress? Come on. He stated that the welfare of the Libyan people is his paramount concern, and that we've engaged in a limited operation to help a lot of people against one of the worst tyrants in the world. Of course, nobody from his administration seems to be able to explain why we haven't gone after Syria or Yemen for doing the very same thing over the last month, or why we've ignored the pleas for help of those civilians being hunted down and butchered in Darfur, in the Ivory Coast, Uganda, Zimbabwe, Chad, and the list goes on and on. So when our leadership is reminded of legalities limiting their power and the Constitution, they consider it noise and fuss. That gives you a little glimpse into how they feel about being restrained. Maybe the concern for the American people should be his paramount concern. When he pretends that they are, he cries out to Congress to raise the debt ceiling so we can get out of this financial mess. Yeah, we can't even make the minimum payments on the interest, so let's raise the credit limit. When sensible members of Congress finally said no and that enough is enough, Mr. Obama got very agitated. In response, he said, "Let me tell you something," describing meetings with lawmakers and his decision to put Vice President Joe Biden in charge of negotiations. He says, "I've met with the leaders multiple times. At a certain point, they need to do their job. So if they oppose your train wreck financial policies, they're not doing their job, you say." I say that stopping the continuation of reckless economic and budgetary policy is their job. They're doing their job. You just don't like it. Unfortunately, the momentum for the damage that's been done is already at full speed and can't be stopped. Slowed down, maybe, but the inevitable is just that, inevitable. Of course, the IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund, warned this week that if the U.S. does not increase its debt limit, America would receive a very serious shock. Well, international bank elitist whiz-bangs, we're headed for a shock either way. So do we want a debilitating shock or a fatal shock? If we raise the debt limit, we'll just be charging up the power source even more. So when the shock comes, it won't be survivable. But you probably already know that, don't you? This is not accidental, people. We're not conspiracy theorists either, and we're not as stupid as you wish we were. In a Bloomberg report titled "President Obama Assails Republicans as Gulf in Deficit Talks Remain Wide," Obama was reported during a news conference warning of dire consequences if Congress doesn't raise the borrowing limit before August 2nd, when the Treasury Department projects it will no longer be able to meet all its obligations. This is a jobs issue, he said. This is not an abstraction. If the United States government for the first time cannot pay its bills, if it defaults, then the consequences for the U.S. Treasury, or the U.S. economy, rather, will be significant and unpredictable. Well, I wouldn't say the consequences are entirely unpredictable. Many people have been predicting the consequences for a long time. If the government kept its going down its suicidal path. Propaganda alert. In this same story, President Barack Obama accused Republicans of siding with corporate jet owners over children and the elderly in deficit negotiations. And further down the column, he says, before we ask our seniors to pay more health care, before we cut our children's education, he said, it's only fair to ask. Fair. There's that favorite buzzword of socialists and communists. It's only fair to ask an oil company or a corporate jet owner that has done so well to give up that tax break that no other business enjoys. No other business except, say, a politician, right? This is right out of a George Orwell book. And see how they always use the children and the elderly to manipulate their position, as if it's the morally superior position? If you disagree with raising taxes, you hate children and old people. If you want the government to be fiscally responsible, you're anti-government. And you hate children and old people. But wait a minute. Mr. Obama, didn't you just say this is a jobs issue? Which is it? Is it a jobs issue or not taxing people enough issue? If this is a jobs issue, how is taxing oil companies and corporate jet owners going to help? If you keep taxing them, that's that many fewer jobs they can provide. And that's just that much higher of a price they'll have to charge for their products and services. Am I right? Make up your mind. Oh, can I get that in writing? Let's only raise taxes on oil companies and any business that owns a corporate jet, just like you said. Can anyone do the math? If you took 90% of all their income, would it get us out of debt? Nope. Not even close. Wouldn't even scratch the surface. And your bean counters know that. And you know that. This is about power and toppling the most powerful nation that's ever existed on the face of the planet in the history of the world. This is about bringing it into submission to the New World Order and fragmenting the nation into little controllable pieces. This is just making the American readout look better all the time, don't you think? A couple of weeks ago, we ran a story featuring an American-born Muslim cleric who is calling for Muslims across the Western Hemisphere, especially in the United States, to purchase weapons and begin carrying out lone wolf attacks. You remember? In case you thought this was just the ramblings of a crazy individual that no one paid any attention to, the things that this guy said, well, this next story might make you want to reconsider. This week on Glenn Beck's The Blaze, an Associated Press piece was posted highlighting the arrest of two Muslim terrorists who were planning a terrorist attack on a MEPS station in Seattle, Washington, using grenades and machine guns. MEPS, by the way, stands for Military Entrance Processing Center. Authorities were alerted only after the duo attempted to recruit a third person who went to the police and offered to become a confidential informant. The pair were arrested when they showed up at a Seattle warehouse to obtain the machine guns from undercover FBI agents. All of this, of course, appearing to be arranged by the confidential informant. The two terrorists that were arrested reportedly told the would-be third terrorist they wanted to, quote, wake the Muslims up. Their goal apparently was to target military recruits and the support personnel operating the center, and also had expressed hopes that once they gained control of the MEP center, the media would arrive to bring attention to their cause. The terrorist team apparently initially targeted the Joint Army Air Force Base Lewis McChord, but changed to the MEP station, a much softer and easily accessible target. The report stated that the machine guns used as the bait in the sting operation were rendered inoperable and couldn't have hurt anyone. Seems like the ATF could learn a few lessons from this one after their Operation Gunrunner or Fast and Furious bungles that resulted in deaths of U.S. law enforcement personnel and civilians in Mexico's drug war. Also from the blaze this week, the United States of Islam Muslim Brotherhood spokesman calls on Arab youth to launch a new revolution in the West and establish a global Islamic state. The Muslim Brotherhood is organized in 80 countries, and they and the Islamists have a right to establish a global movement, much like global socialism or Zionism. Why shouldn't we have a country called the United States of Islam? I propose that the Arab peoples take to the streets with the slogan, "The Arab people wants to remove the borders." That's from the report. Of course, where there's the stench of globalist, communist, or Islamo-fascist revolution, you'll often find the name George Soros. And a column put out by Reuters this week exposes his alliance he's attempting to forge with the Muslim Brotherhood. It's coming to America. You can read more about that by clicking on the link on our Week 5 highlights and resources posting on the blog. Those terrorist threats have prompted churches to take notice, amazingly enough. One News Now, a news service with a Christian perspective, responded to the recent Islamic terrorist calls to, quote, do major damage to the enemies of Islam, waging war on their religion, sacred places, and things and brethren, close quote. The Christian Emergency Network earlier this week issued a church terror warning for churches across the West and especially in the United States. The article quotes one spokesman as saying, "Don't walk around like everything's okay because we're in different times now. And it's time for Americans to be vigilant, to be aware, and be alert because something could happen." No plot against a specific target was mentioned in the article. So that's a good thing, but you need to remain alert. Remember last week we celebrated the news that Indiana was pulling its funds for Planned Parenthood in Indianapolis? Well, hold your horses. It didn't take long, but a federal judge overruled the state's decision to cut funding, so now the baby murdering may commence at the taxpayer's expense. But wait. There's good news coming out of Wisconsin. 2 weeks in a row, if you can believe it. This story brought to you by the John Birch Society in a budget-cutting plan designed to reduce state spending by $3 billion. It included, among other things, the cutting of Planned Parenthood's state funds. Of course, this has led to outrage by the organization formerly known as the Eugenics Society, which was a population control organization which targeted minorities and other undesirable types from populating within our society. That's Planned Parenthood. Of course, they had to change their name when the public realized how Nazi-esque the name and the function of the organization really was. Planned Parenthood sounds so much more cuddly. While you're all giving thanks for the freedoms we enjoy in this country, and especially recognizing and giving thanks to God for all he's blessed us with, some other people who hate God, have other plans. Atheist groups will be conducting a campaign on this 4th of July to have banners pulled behind airplanes in 27 states that read, "God bless America" and "Atheism is patriotic." of all the readout states, Montana was specifically listed as the one in which not a single pilot could be found who would pull one of the banners. Banners for the Blitz inferred that they couldn't get pilots to carry the banners on a larger scale because of bigotry against atheists. It's not enough that they hate God. They won't be happy as long as there are still people out there who don't have a big empty gaping hole in their souls just like them. And it appears that the I hate God virus is contagious this weekend. Christian News Journal World, Today's News, Christian Views, reported the Department of Veterans Affairs is under scrutiny for reportedly telling veterans and others not to use the words God or Jesus Christ in memorial services at Houston National Cemetery, according to a report in the Houston Chronicle. We're talking Texas here. I can't believe that y'all are just going to let that one go. Well, with all this negative news, we bring you to a story that'll make you feel warm and fuzzy. The United Nations has decided to move forward with its Arms Reduction Committee. Oh, good. And they announced last Tuesday that the committee would be chaired and headed up by North Korea. Cool. That'll be interesting. I wonder if this is one of those cases where they make the schoolyard bully the crossing guard or the hall monitor for the week, to try to make him feel like a productive citizen in hopes of turning him around and making him feel important. Just a thought. You can find the links to these stories by going to the highlights and resources posting for today's show. That's week 5, Sunday, July 3rd, to learn more. On a really, truly positive note, I received an email this week announcing that on Monday morning at 9:30, that's the 4th of July, tomorrow morning, over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, State Representative Phil Hart is asking the public to join him for a public reading of the Declaration of Independence. That will be held at Independence Point. And again, in the downtown area of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, down by the lake and just east of the Coeur d'Alene Resort. Monday morning, 9:30. That's refreshing to see our elected officials doing something like that, reading our founding documents. Maybe Mr. Hart will start a new trend. It sounds like he's certainly setting the example. Ah, oh, I love being in the American Redoubt. We're going to take a quick break to hear the latest words of wisdom from one of our favorite young American patriots, Violette Sabo. And when we come back, we're going to begin diving into today's theme, China's Trojan Horse. Pre-invasion? Or are we just being presumptuous? All that and more in just a moment.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us. We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers. We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
I'm very excited to have received a copy of Enola Gay's newly published book, The Prepared Family Guide to Uncommon Diseases. I'm holding it in my hand right now, and I have to say, very well done. Next week, I believe, we'll be having Anya on the air to do a book review on it. She has an alternative medicine background, and she said, when she first saw the book, she was really impressed. So hopefully we'll have that next week for you. You can check the book out for yourself by going to Enola Gay's very popular Paratus Familia blog. That's Latin for prepared family. And oh boy, are they. They live out what they preach. What a great article she put out this week titled The Pursuit of Happiness. Always an inspiration and a breath of fresh air, her articles. So We're just really glad to have you with us in the American Readout. Speaking of articles, I just read Pastor Chuck Baldwin's article posted this week. It's posted up for the 4th of July weekend, and it's titled, Founders Without Whom America Would Not Exist. You can read it for yourself by going to chuckbaldwinlive.com, but we'll also be reposting it tomorrow at radiofreeredout.blogspot.com. Also, we are very proud to announce a special event coming up tomorrow. If you'd like to hear Chuck Baldwin speak live, he's scheduled to appear in Bozeman, Montana tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. at Bogart Park. That's part of the Independence Day rally hosted by the Bozeman Tea Party. They're a hardworking bunch of people who absolutely love liberty and freedom. They're busting their backsides to do their part in restoring America. The event is scheduled to go from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday night, and they're offering free burgers and patriotic music will be provided courtesy of Comstock Load. And that's all supposed to be taking place on Church Street. So if you're in the area, we want to encourage you to support the very patriotic efforts of everyone putting on the event. They've had quite a fight to just get the event off the ground, so they'd really appreciate all of your support. Attend if you can. Remember, if you know of an event coming up in your area, pass it along to us so we can let others know as well. Just email us at radiofreeredout@gmail.com. Oh, and speaking of emails, I just received my newsletter from Ready Nutrition. I'm really looking forward to reading it, as always, but I haven't even had time to read it yet. Some of you have received yours, and if you haven't, you can sign up and start receiving them. It's free. Just go to readynutrition.com. Just go to the bottom of their blog and look for the little sticky note looking thing and put your information in there and start receiving regular e-newsletters packed with prepper tips and ideas. I think you'll enjoy it. I know we all do. We're strong proponents of personal preparedness, disaster preparedness, and overall self-sufficient living here at Radio Free Readout. But what are we preparing for? That's a tough question to answer because everything is so volatile right now in the world and in our country and on so many levels, economically, politically, socially, and so forth. So we want to try to address potential threats to you with special emphasis on those living in or relocating to the American Redoubt. But listen up, no matter where you are in the world, these things could affect you. No matter where your redoubt, your sanctuary and place of refuge for liberty is located. This week, we're taking a look at a specific threat that is particularly troubling for the citizens of the American Redoubt, because this is in our own backyard, and I'm talking about the governor of Idaho's plans to allow the communist Chinese government to establish an autonomous city within the state of Idaho, specifically just south of the Boise Airport. I've recently had people asking me my thoughts on this so-called special economic zone that Idaho's Governor Butch Otter is trying to help the Chinese establish. And as I was working on the outline and doing the research, I received another email last week from a regular listener in New Hampshire. Yes, New Hampshire. Shout out to you, by the way, New Hampshire. Thank you for listening. He also showed concern about this topic and wanted my thoughts. So we're going to take this topic on, head on, right now. Today's show is titled China's Trojan Horse. You all know who China is. Most of you know what the term Trojan Horse means. But for those of you who haven't or who just need a little refresher, let me go to that first. So we're all addressing this from the right perspective. So a little history lesson. During the Trojan Wars, the Greeks laid siege to the last of several military objectives, a city along the coast in what is now Turkey. Troy was the name of the city, and this took place about 1,100 years or so before Christ. And historians debate the timeline, but give or take a couple hundred years, around this time, well, the Greeks had laid siege to the city of Troy. This siege lasted about 10 years and basically seemed to be going nowhere in terms of progress for the Greeks. So some say the story is myth and legend, while others contend it most likely had to be factual. In either case, the lesson is timeless. Wikipedia offers this narrative. In one version, after a fruitless 10-year siege, the Greeks constructed a huge wooden horse and hid a select force of 30 men inside. The Greeks pretended to sail away, and the Trojans pulled the horse into their city as a victory trophy. That night, the Greek force crept out of the horse and opened up the gates for the rest of the Greek army, which had sailed back under the cover of night. The Greek army entered and destroyed the city of Troy, decisively ending the war. Good old Wikipedia. But here's how it applies today. The same site explains that, metaphorically, a Trojan horse has come to mean any trick or stratagem that causes a target to invite a foe into a securely protected bastion or space. It is also associated with malware or computer programs, presented as useful or harmless to induce the user to install and run them. Now, keep that description in the back of your mind as we go through the rest of this. And remember, too, Troy was a redoubt, a successful one at that. It was a fortified safe haven and refuge for its citizens. It was after the frustration on a 10-year siege that the Greeks decided to get creative. And if it weren't for the leaders of Troy falling for the ruse, the city wouldn't have fallen. Another example of a successful redoubt, until they took the bait and brought the enemy inside the gates, believing it was a gesture of goodwill. And they received the horse as a war trophy. Seems the egos got the best of them. The event led to a famous line, "I fear Greeks, even those bearing gifts." How does this apply today? Well, for 50 years, the communist Chinese have been talking of and planning for an armed conflict with the United States and the West. They've vowed to destroy us. But they're not stupid. In fact, they're extremely intelligent and cunning. Replace Greeks with communist Chinese, and that summarizes how I feel. I fear communist Chinese, even those bearing gifts, or jobs, or loans. But now they've had a change of heart, right? They want to help us by creating jobs. Many people aren't so sure. This latest development is spawned out of a program the Idaho state government is working on to try to stimulate the state's economy, create jobs, and increase our domestic output. Okay, sounds great. This program I'm speaking of is called Project 60. The Project 60 program sounds great on the surface. And actually, it's truly a really great aggressive program to bring businesses into North Idaho, resulting in jobs, a stronger economy, and long-term growth. It's all great except for one thing, one part of it. And I'm still researching this, but from what I've seen, the Trojan horse that's hidden within the part of the program is called Inward Foreign Direct Investment. And it's my understanding that that is the portion of Project 60 that is enabling the economic zone, or the special economic zone, that is being proposed for the Boise area. That's approximately a 50 square mile area where communist Chinese-owned business hopes to establish a Chinese city where they can conduct manufacturing, warehousing, retail centers, and large numbers of homes for Chinese workers. This program also promotes the use of an immigration program called EB-5. It's a special visa that allows them to work here in return for eventual citizenship. Like the Chinese are going to allow their citizens to do that. Actually, I'm sure they will, and those new so-called U.S. citizens will be intelligence agents with the communist Chinese government. And one day, if this all goes through, because it's not 100% go yet, one day I'm going to tell you, I told you so. Mark my words. A special economic zone is a geographical region that has economic and other laws that are more free market oriented than a country's typical or national laws. Nationwide laws may be suspended inside of a special economic zone, according to several reports. So this self-sustaining city will allow essentially a sovereign piece of communist Chinese land to be sitting right in the middle of the United States, or rather, we're going to be relinquishing our land to them. But they're not just targeting Idaho. They're doing this all over the United States, and they're doing it all over the world. The communist Chinese government has its tentacles reaching onto every continent on the globe now, and it's developing an insatiable appetite for natural resources. And if you think that inviting the Chinese into our backyard is all about creating a few jobs and bringing money to your state, you got another thing coming. You better wake up. And if you don't want to wake up because you're enjoying your dream too much, you better just go get another latte, watch Dancing with the Stars, and tomorrow morning start packing and move out of the American Redoubt. Make room for someone who loves freedom and America and who understands the cost of keeping both. More when we come back. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Don't go away.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Readout blog to learn more. You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
This is Radio Free Redoubt. We're about halfway through today's show, and if you're just now joining us, we were just starting to get into today's main topic of the China's aspirations of building a 50-square-mile city south of Boise, Idaho, in the south-central portion of the American Redoubt, and the Idaho politicians' eagerness to embrace the plan. And some people now have been yelling treason. Is what governor of Idaho, Butch Otter, doing treasonous? Or is it ignorance? Or just a desperate act of economic grasping at straws to try to do the right thing for his state? Does he think he's really doing the right thing, but he's been duped and lied to himself? I don't know the man's heart. I really like what I know of the man. He's had a good reputation as a governor, and his constituents seem to like him. But he does seem to gravitate toward large corporations that could benefit from this communist Chinese move. If you want to get to the bottom of something to discover the why, always, always follow the money trail. Unless it's something driven by another lust. Lust for power, status, women, chances, and the rush of pursuing great reward for great risk. Those are human emotional drivers. But on this level, follow the money trail, because everything else falls into place after that. Everything else that's worldly becomes attainable. Does he just want to go down in history as the governor who saved Idaho's economy by trying to tap into the international market? Maybe he's pulling the horse into the redoubt so he can claim victory in an economic war. You know, the Trojans were warned by a couple people that the horse the Greeks left behind outside the walls of Troy could be a trap. But the leaders dismissed the warnings. I wonder if the people trying to warn the others were dismissed as conspiracy theorists, nut jobs, and right-wing wackos. A lot of people have been loudly warning that this is a trap, that this will weaken us as a state and a nation if we let them have this beachhead, and that it will strengthen the communist country that is diametrically opposed to Americanism and which has vowed to destroy and dominate us one day. It would be interesting to be a mouse in the corner in some of these international meetings, wouldn't it? To see just what kind of arm twisting is really happening behind those closed doors. We've allowed China, a major military superpower, to be economically invested in us, to the tune of trillions of dollars. And they see that we can't pay the bills anymore. We can't even pay the interest, just like a vehicle title loan place. What? You can't pay off the loan? Well, no problem. Because we're such benevolent, kind-hearted people, we'll let you extend your loan. All you have to do is pay the interest. But if you stop paying the interest, they come and take your car because you've already signed the title over to them. I hate those places. I think they should all be banned. Why? Because they prey on the people who can afford it the least. That's why it's called predatory lending. Of course, I know those people got themselves into those situations because of choices they made. Starting to sound familiar? We've made choices and gotten ourselves into this mess as a nation. And we can't even pay the interest anymore. And China said, don't even think about defaulting. that would be very, very bad for you. If you even start hinting at defaulting, you know what scares me? If China says, you owe us a lot of money, you promised to pay it back and you're not making your payments, you're not even covering the interest anymore, so we'll take our payment in land and natural resources, and we'll take it right now. I wonder if that's what's happening in these boardroom meetings when our leaders go over to China and they all walk out holding hands and smiling, telling us they have a great new plan that will provide jobs and boost our state exports and that it'll be great for the economy. And I wish I could read our leaders' thoughts. Oh boy, am I in trouble and I don't know how to get out of this one. They totally own us. I don't mean to be cynical, but I can't help to wonder what's really going on. Am I alone here? No, I know I'm not. And this is happening all over the world. The communist Chinese have their hands in oil, gas, mining, and other industries on every continent and in countless countries. And they're talking and holding meetings with both of our neighbors in Canada and in Mexico. Some of the discussions they've had with Mexico reportedly include military cooperation. What would be the purpose of that, may I ask? Just one of the articles covering that is posted on our Week 5 Broadcast Resources and Highlights page. We're in trouble. So as far as these special economic zones, what they plan for America is based on a model of special economic zones like the ones in communist China. Like the most famous example is one in Shenzhen, which started out as essentially a small fishing village in the 70s and now boasts of being a sprawling metropolis of over 14 million people. Hey, Boise, you're not just a little fishing village, so you already got a head start. China's been moving into oil, gas, and mining ventures all over the world. And in Texas, the Federal Republic of the Communist Chinese state-owned CNOOC, that's China National Offshore Oil Company, is buying a multi-billion dollar stake in 600,000 acres of South Texas oil and gas fields, potentially testing the political waters for future expansion into U.S. energy reserves, one report states. The same outfit also announced recently that it would pay up to $2.2 billion for a one-third stake in Chesapeake Energy assets. No word on the outcome of that yet. We're trying to follow that one. I can't believe you Texans, of all people, allowing that. You should be up in petition drives. In East Toledo, Ohio, up on the table and waiting for approval is the purchase of the southern 69 acres at the Marina District to add to the Dock's restaurant complex it has already purchased. This Chinese-owned company called Dashing Pacific Group Limited added that they want a two-year option to buy the decommissioned Toledo Edison Power Plant property also on the site. Sinomac, the communist Chinese-owned company eyeing Boise, has also reportedly sent delegations to Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania to explore the possibilities of setting up special economic zones in those states as well. You see a pattern? They're going after some of the most economically repressed areas of the country. Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Idaho's struggling too. It's like the man crawling across the desert floor on the edge of dying of thirst when suddenly a man standing before him with a frost-covered gallon-sized jug of water. Up, wait a minute. You just got to sign on the dotted line first. Who could refuse it? They got us right where they want us, and our leaders are making decisions out of desperation. But only what they're signing away is something that, once lost, can never again be attained. But can we count on our leaders in the ultra-conservative inland Pacific Northwest to refrain from the temptation of eating the fruit, of signing on the dotted line? Well, let's see. What did Idaho's Lieutenant Governor Brad Little have to say? I'm disappointed, but not surprised. He said Idaho's the last state that should say we don't want to do business with Asia. Asia's where the money is. Well, you so-and-so, we're not saying we don't want to do business with Asia. We don't want to do business with the Chinese communists. Business deals with someone who's sworn to destroy us. We are on the edge of defaulting on our debt. China is not happy about us not paying up, and the only way to get out of defaulting unless we go deeper by doing another quantitative easing program or two, to buy a little more time, is to go hyperinflation. Then we can go to China with $1 trillion and say, here you go, all done, you're paid up. Of course, when hyperinflation hits, and it's coming, who knows? A gallon of gas might be worth $1.6 million. But hey, you'll be making $15 million an hour, so it's all good. Denny's will be having their early morning Grand Slam specials for just $2.5 million served all day, and we're going to pay off China all that we owe them. Here's $4 trillion. And they're going to say, I don't think so. They've sent some pretty strong warnings, and who knows what kind of warnings the people at the top have received that we don't even know about. Do you remember last November when that missile was launched off the coast of California? Right where it could be seen from Los Angeles. In fact, it was a news helicopter out of LA that got the footage. It's posted on the resources and highlights page in case you forgot. You can look at that again. And the cover-ups that were coming out of the media trying to explain it away as a contrail from a commercial airliner. Let me tell you something, folks. You witnessed the launch of an intercontinental ballistic missile. And probably from a submarine. And our military seemed shocked and dumbfounded and didn't know what to say when they were asked about it. They mumbled and fumbled, but really seemed embarrassed that they couldn't come up with a logical explanation. And then it just went away, and everyone forgot about it and went back to their Biggest Loser show or their sports trivia, whatever other pacifier people have to comfort them. Most people don't realize that the same thing happened to the following day off the East Coast near New York. Los Angeles and New York, two of our nation's largest cities and icons of American greatness in business and industry. That was a message, folks. That was a strong message, and you can bet your bottom dollar our government got the message. So who sent the message? Closest thing to a truthful answer came from Robert Ellsworth, a former ambassador to NATO and a former deputy secretary of defense. Listen to the clip of part of his interview with a team of journalists.
With President Obama in Asia, this could have been a show of our military muscle.
It could be a test firing of an intercontinental ballistic missile from a submarine, underwater submarine, to demonstrate mainly to Asia that we can do that.
Right. Because with all the demonstrations of our military might over the last decade, we just want to make sure they know we could do that. They know we can do that. And if we were going to do that, they'd make sure the media was covering it so the whole world could see. And so we had to launch one with inside of New York too, the very next day, so we could show the world we could do it some more. Right. I believe his assessment is correct, though. And that was that this was the launching of a ballistic missile fired from a submarine. And how quick we forget. We could be in even more trouble than we realize. One of the links we have posted that will take you to an article from the popular blog endoftheamericandream.com says this. We even allow the Chinese to make many of the key electronic parts for our most advanced weapon systems. It even turns out that some counterfeit electronics from suppliers in China have gotten into some of our military hardware. He provides a link for the story on this. A recent AFP article noted that counterfeit electronics had infiltrated the Pentagon's supply chain, including microprocessors for the F-15 fighter jet and microcircuits for U.S. Missile Defense Agency hardware. Now China is even blocking an investigation into these counterfeit electronics. Ain't this just getting better and better all the time? But what do I know? I'm just a right-wing radio host that's trying to stop progress and economy recovery. And I know how you feel. You're not alone. There's a lot of us out there, too. All across the American redoubt. And in every other redoubt across America and the world. This isn't just about one guy. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. Don't touch that mouse. I'll be right back.
Don't forget to check out the videos page, found by clicking on the videos tab on the blog. You'll find useful and informative videos about our American heritage, as well as issues of today. Also, if you feel led, please financially support the organizations and ministries that produce the videos so they can continue keeping us informed.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American readout. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
Welcome back on this beautiful 4th of July weekend. We hope you're enjoying your time with friends and family. I know many of you are listening to the podcast version of the broadcast on the Podbean player because you're outdoors doing all kinds of festive stuff right now while we are broadcasting live. And that's what you should be doing. But thank you especially to the live listening audience for taking the time to listen to the show. Oh, and when you listen to the broadcasts, if you're listening on the Podbean site, don't forget to rate the show 1 through 5 stars, and leave comments telling us what you think. We always enjoy hearing from our listening audience by email, and you can do that by sending it to radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com. If you're not sure how to go to the podcast site, you can simply go to the Podbean player over there on the right side of the blog. Just scroll down a little ways until you see it, and click on the little icon that says website right next to it. I just want to take a minute to remind you, if you haven't done so already, to mark your calendars. If you're going to be in either area for a couple other events coming up in less than 2 weeks on Friday, July 15th at 6 o'clock p.m., the Tea Party Patriots of North Idaho will be hosting their Clingers Festival and Second Amendment Rally out at the State Line Speedway in Post Falls, Idaho. They have some prominent speakers scheduled for that event, so don't miss it. Show your patriotism and your support by attending. And while you're there, tell them how much you appreciate all the hard work they're doing to preserve liberty in the inland Pacific Northwest. And tell them you heard about it on Radio Free Redoubt. The other event isn't until August, but it's going to come up fast. That's the Idaho Liberty Summit. It'll be held in Challis, Idaho, and hosted by the Custer County Tea Party. And that one goes from Friday the 19th through Sunday the 21st. Lots of activities are planned for that event, and prices vary depending on which portions you're planning to participate in, so start planning now. Both of these events are listed with contact links for emailing them for more information on our resources and highlights page, and also they're advertised in the most recent issue of the Capitalist Papers. You can go directly to the Capitalist Papers by going to www.thecapitalistpapers.com. We've also added that as a link in our Week 5 resources posting for your convenience. You're welcome. Tonight we've been talking about China's Trojan horse. I gave that title in deliberate fashion to point out that I believe their expansion of businesses, acquiring access to our precious natural resources, and their goals of establishing autonomous, self-reliant cities is a trick. It's a ruse. I believe it is a ruse to get inside the gates of the city, or the nation in this case. More alarmingly, they're strongly considering establishing a foothold inside the American redoubt. I don't look for a boogeyman under every rock, but let's look at the facts. China is a communist nation. Anyone who thinks they've gone capitalist and have abandoned communism is deceived. They've sworn to destroy us, and their commanders regularly war game based on the scenario of going to war with the United States in particular, and against the West in general. They are the fastest growing military in the world with capabilities that rival ours. Their technology, much of which is either stolen from or sold to them by us. And they're catching up very, very quickly. Let me run something by you. What if your neighbor across the street said he was going to kill you and your family one day? He said, one day I'm going to kill you and your family. And he starts stacking sandbags in front of his house in strategic locations and building fighting positions and puts up barbed wire on the edge of your property. And every couple of days you see him out there with a compass shooting azimuths and a laser rangefinder pointed at your home. And you see him out there drawing maps of your property, annotating trees, shrubs, fence lines, buildings, outbuildings. and out there with a notepad and a camera documenting every time you leave your home or return. And he has his wife and kids out in the front yard with M1 Garands doing military drills, yelling, kill the neighbors, every day. Then you find out that he's been over talking to your next door neighbor in whispers. And then you notice a couple rolls of barbed wire and some empty sandbags laying alongside your next door neighbor's house. Then one day, the neighbor from across the street knocks on your door holding a plate of fresh baked cookies, hands them to you, and asks to come inside to help with anything you might need help with. Can I help you do your dishes? I'd love to just come in and look around your lovely home. I'm sure there must be some way I can help you out. Let's put the past to rest and forget about everything I said. But as he's saying this, you can see over his shoulder, there's this kid filling and stacking more sandbags and mounting something that looks like a machine gun mount in the back of his truck. But, those cookies sure smell good, and you could really use some help around the house, right? Now, if it were me standing there debating whether or not to give in to the temptation to let this guy through my door and into my house, and if I let him in, what would you call me? A guy that just believes in second chances? Or a fool? Stupid? Naive? And gullible? Governor Otter, I implore you to reconsider. It's not worth 10 jobs. It's not worth 1,000 jobs. It's not worth any amount of money to risk our safety and security, our freedom and our liberty, our sovereignty, or one square inch of American or Idaho or Ada County soil. Because once they get their foot in the door and you provide for them this beachhead, there will be no turning back. You will not, in 5 years or 10 years, be able to say, you know what, I made a mistake. This isn't working out. I changed my mind. They will be here forever, and it will only keep growing until our nation is consumed. Mark my words. Quote me on this. I promise you there is danger to us from every angle you can look at it. I don't mean a Chinese person that wants to come here and start a business. I'm talking about doing business with the communist Chinese government. Look at the strategy. Sun Tzu would be extremely impressed to see this stratagem that's unfolding. Just because these people might speak with an accent doesn't mean they think with one. You cannot underestimate the communists, and especially the communist Chinese. They are highly intelligent and are very deliberate in this. They don't do anything spontaneous. This has been planned out for years. And if you can't see it, if you lack the analytical skill sets, then admit it and seek wise counsel from some more people who know the communists, who know military strategy, who know history, and who particularly know the Chinese. They've studied us extensively. You owe it to us to study them with the help of someone other than other statesmen who have a subjective viewpoint or who could gain from this move. I want to believe that you are really trying to do the right thing for the people and that you don't know better and are just making this move for some temporary gain, either economically or for status. You're a very popular governor, but the majority of your constituents do not stand behind you in this. But what if the Chinese aren't carrying out some sinister plan to destroy us economically and militarily? What if we're just blowing things out of proportion? Okay, let's take the military threat off the table for a minute, just for the sake of argument. Now, is it okay to bring in the communist Chinese and do business with them? I mean, it'll bring at least a few hundred jobs and it'll increase our exports, right? Well, not really. They're only going to do this if they can come out ahead, like a loan shark. He keeps telling you how much the deal is going to really help you out, but he's the one sticking the dagger in you, just like all the oil fields they're buying up in Texas. So we'll be exporting oil to the Chinese and chalking that up as a success, and then we'll be importing foreign oil from China that was extracted from Texas. You watch. Pretty ingenious scheme, if you ask me. I wish I would have thought of it. But how about killing the deal, or at least postpone it, on principle, if nothing else? China has some of the worst human rights abuses on record. They're brutal against their people. The wages are not even sufficient to support a single person, much less a family. Oh, and how about the Chinese families, where the children they have the number that they can have is limited by the state. And couples are coerced into getting abortions, forced by the state to kill their unborn babies, to terminate the lives of their own children. They regularly hunt down and arrest Christians, imprisoning them, sometimes killing them, and evicting the owners of the property they were discovered holding a Bible study in. The persecution against Christians is abhorrent. The citizens in China are suppressed from speaking out against their government. People are often fined or imprisoned or both for their political views, oftentimes with no trial or coerced confessions. There's some horror stories out there about how the communist Chinese treat people. And you want to invite them here just to make a buck? That is not worth it to me. Would you want to buy fruit from the guy running the fruit stand who regularly beats his wife and his children and beats them to a bloody pulp for catching them with a Bible or for asking to go to church? Of course not. You'd say, hey, we're spreading the word and none of us are going to do business with you until you change your ways. Don't want to change your ways? No problem. When you change your mind, then we'll talk about maybe buying an apple from you. How do I feel about this Chinese self-sustained city in the state of Idaho? In the American redoubt? In the United States? I haven't quite decided yet. No, I think you know how I feel. I'm as strongly opposed to this as I could ever be on any issue. A message to our elected officials, it's not too late to do the right thing. And I believe you want to do the right thing. Right? An article just recently came out of the Associated Press as a damage control measure to try to counter the opposition to the China City in Boise program. Did I already mention this? I can't remember. I think I'm losing my mind. Anyway, one thing in the article was this statement from David Shambaugh, a China scholar at George Washington University who spoke last year and at the university, at the Boise State University, that's right, I had to check my facts, about the U.S.-China relationship. He said, fear-mongering could drive Chinese investment elsewhere. We Americans need to look at inbound China investment with our eyes open for potential national security concerns, but we should welcome it because it brings jobs, he said. So he recognizes that there is the potential for national security threats and even advises that we need to keep our eyes open, but because we can make a buck off of it, what the heck? But did you just catch what he said? Fear-mongering could drive Chinese investment elsewhere. Wow. Awesome. He just handed our strategy to us on a silver platter. So there is a possibility this could be ran off and driven elsewhere. Great. Here's the deal. Here's the strategy. If you care about Idaho, if you care about protecting the American redoubt, if you care about America, if you care about your children's future, children, it's for the children. If you care about your children's future and the country you're going to be handing to them, here's your assignment. Contact your elected officials from the local level up to your U.S. congressman and tell them you strongly oppose any business dealings and especially the building of a self-sustaining Chinese city by the communist Chinese anywhere on our soil, but especially within the American redoubt. That's the inland Pacific Northwest states, the mountain states. And no matter where you live, but especially for you Idaho state residents, citizens, contact Governor Butch Otter's office and express your views about the matter. And remember to be assertive, but be polite and professional about it. Next, write your local newspapers, using a pseudonym, of course, like James Rawls advises, and stir up a frenzy of activity that can't be ignored. And email us and let us know when your paper publishes one of your pieces. Send us a link and keep us up to date. This has got to be stopped, because you won't be able to stop it once it gets a foothold. We're fearful, all right. And in my opinion, we have every right to be. Well, that's about all the time we have for tonight. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the topic. Feel free to email me at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com. And we want to know how we're doing. We need a report card. What's your opinion? Are we doing a good job of informing, inspiring, and connecting you across the American redoubt? Let us know. And thank you to everyone who have encouraged us with your emails. We appreciate it so very much. Don't forget, right after the broadcast, we'll be playing an episode of I Was a Communist for the FBI. This week's episode titled Red, Red Herring. We hope you enjoy it, and we hope you enjoy all the old-time nostalgic radio shows that we air. But right after that's done airing, in about 27 minutes, we'll be re-airing the broadcast you just heard in case you missed any of it. As a reminder, Radio Free Redoubt is not affiliated with any other entity, including James Rawls, Survival Blog, Chuck Baldwin, or the Capitalist Papers, or anyone else. The views expressed on Radio Free Redoubt by the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily represent anyone else's. Join us next week as we look at the church, challenges, obstacles, and the potential future for the church in America, and those God-fearing patriots who can find themselves joining the ranks of many believers around the world called the persecuted. Once again, have a very happy and safe 4th of July as you celebrate our nation's independence. And remember the price that was paid and the fortunes sacrificed for you to call the United States of America your home. God bless America. I'm John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Redoubt. Until next week, good night.